Welcome to the Sleep as a Skill podcast. My name is Molly McLaughlin, and I own a company that optimizes sleep through technology, accountability, and behavioral change. Each week, I'll be interviewing world-class experts ranging from doctors, innovators, and thought leaders to give actionable tips and strategies that you can implement to become a more skillful sleeper. Let's jump into your dose of practical sleep training. Welcome to the Sleep as a Skill podcast. My guest today is Dr. Patrick Porter, PhD, an award-winning author, speaker, and founder of BrainTap, the leader in technology-enhanced meditation. Now, just a little aside, I've been using the BrainTap for the last couple weeks since recording this episode, and I have been loving it. It was also a big feature at the biohacking conference that both Dr. Porter and I were attending in Florida just a few weeks ago. So we'll be speaking about that on this episode that I think you're going to really enjoy, some fascinating stuff. But just a little more about Dr. Porter. Dr. Porter pioneered the use of brainwave entrainment to improve clarity, sleep, and energy, and remains at the forefront of scientific research. He founded BrainTap with the goal of making this technology accessible to everyone. BrainTap offers over 1,000 original audio sessions in 12 languages and serves as a worldwide user base with its mobile app and headset. Dr. Porter has been featured in the Wall Street Journal, People, Entrepreneur, Inc., and on ABC, NBC, CBS as an expert in brain health and wellness. And in 2020, Dr. Porter received the IAFNR Lifetime Achievement Award, and you can check out more about BrainTap at braintap.com. Also in the show notes, we'll be including a link for you to test out the app for free to see your results with that app, but you can also check out the actual headset. Like I said, that's the one I've been utilizing, and it's pretty cool. So at the very least, it's worth checking out some of their social sites and their website, and absolutely giving the app a go. And without further ado, let's jump into the episode. All right, you all, I'm so excited to announce our new sponsor, Soul CBD. When I was at my lowest point dealing with my insomnia, CBD was one of the key compounds that I leaned into to combat my crippling anxiety, calm my nervous system, and support my journey to entrain my circadian rhythm. But of all the brands out there, where can you go that you can have a strong trust in their quality? Well, Soul CBD is completely THC-free, organically farmed, gluten-free, and third-party tested for toxins. And bonus, the company is created by a brother and sister duo who have both made wellness their mission in life. And I'm good friends with Angie Lee, their co-founder. So I've seen her commitment to health and sleep behind the scenes, and she really walks her talk. Now, one of the things that is great about Soul is that they aim to help create rituals around your CBD use, and sleep and rituals are best friends. For instance, I love that Soul CBD supports a nighttime bath routine with their CBD bath bombs, which help to combat stress, soothe aching muscles with a mix of CBD essential oils and dead sea salts. Another ritual that we aim to cultivate in the realm of sleep optimization is circadian rhythm intermittent fasting, which is really all about eating your meals between sunrise and sunset. And Soul CBD has very popular gummies that can serve as a nighttime dessert or treat to look forward to without caving to ice cream. Nice alternative. My go-tos personally are their oils, capsules, topicals, and even CBD bath bombs. It's helpful for anyone who struggles with anxiety, pain, or sleep. Now, particularly when I'm traveling, I like to lean into as many things as possible to help with inflammation, and CBD does just that. Now, here's a really cool part. You get 15% off automatically and free shipping when you go to mysoul.com/sleep-is-a-skill. I'm going to say that again. You get 15% off automatically. All you have to do is go to this link, which will be in the show notes, mysoulcbd.com/sleep-is-a-skill. All right, let's get on to the show. And welcome to the Sleep is a Skill podcast. My guest today is Dr. Patrick Porter. I could not be more thrilled to have this conversation because actually both of us are just on the heels of an excellent conference that we just attended
over in Orlando, the biohacking conference. And I had the opportunity of listening in as Dr. Porter spoke really eloquently on the brain and got really nuanced with the group and really provided so many gems and also led us in various meditations in between different parts of the conference. And they had, you know, Brain Tap all set up there. I got the opportunity to use that and kind of revamp in the midst of a very busy conference. And it was impressive the difference it made. So I could not be more thrilled to have him in the midst of his busy schedule to take the time to share more on not only just what he has to share in this world of understanding the brain, but also how we can utilize that to our advantage for this conversation around improving our sleep. So without further ado, thank you so much, Dr. Porter, for taking the time.
Well, thanks, Molly. It's great to be here.
Excellent. All right. So I know we were speaking beforehand on this topic of sleep and how you also, you have a number of pieces of work for people as it relates to the book, the Brain Tap app, and then the Brain Tap itself. And many of these, the work that you have been behind, you also speak to sleep a lot. So one, just give us a little background on how you came to create all that you've created in this area and how that aligns in the world of sleep optimization.
Well, I think it started a long time ago, of course, on a planet far, far. No, I'm just the when it started, I was only 12 years old. My dad was a chronic alcoholic and he got help doing a meditation practice and he found out that he could relax without alcohol. And that changed the history of our whole family. Our whole family learned how to meditate using something called the Silva method. And then he became a Silva instructor, one of the first 20 in America. So I grew up learning to meditate using that method. And a lot of the speakers at the conference were talking about Silva method. My dad trained directly with Jose Silva. So we grew up with that, tech-assisted meditations. And the natural side effect, the reason it's so important is that it helps regulate the nervous system. And I'll get more into that later. So that's what plays into sleep. So through history, I was helping my dad do his seminars and things like that. But I was never actually going to do this for a living. I went to, you know, that's what dad does. I was going to go to school for electronics, which I did. So my undergraduate degree is in electronics, and I've always been a tinker, somebody who creates things. So through the history, there's a long story between that, but it doesn't have much to do with sleep. So in the 80s, I became the researcher for a company called Light and Sound Research out of Scottsdale, Arizona. And we developed a technology. We took and miniaturized something that was the size of a microwave, and it wouldn't do any automatic readings. There was no neurofeedback back then like we have today. It was all biofeedback. So we were looking at breathing, respiration rates, hand temperature, different things like that. Some of the things I actually did in the meditation.
Yes.
The meditations, I taught some of those techniques. But we would monitor them, and then we would change the light, sound, and vibration so that the brain would continue to go into a state near sleep. It wasn't sleep at the time, but it was near sleep. Because our nervous system gets locked. What happens is when we have chronic low-level stress, the limbic brain gets hijacked. This primitive brain, which some people call the default mode network, some people also call it the subconscious. So when you think about it, when Bruce Lipton talks about 95% of what runs your life isn't your conscious mind. So why are you running around trying to change that? It doesn't do much. It's the subconscious that changes it. So what happens is when we get stressed out and we learn to be stressed, some people, whether they believe it or not, they actually get addicted to the feelings of stress. When they don't have stress, they actually create it in their life. They create the strife, the anxiety, the fear. And of course, if they're not able to down-regulate, that's why when we were talking before about people wearing Oura rings or bio straps or all these different monitoring systems.
Yes.
If we look at our monitoring systems, if we're stuck in a high state of beta, which is a brainwave that has to do with fear, frustration, anxiety, but also we need, because it's what keeps us alive, our brains really haven't evolved at all in 100,000 years. We still have the same brain. We still have the same physiology. What's changed is our environment and our psychology, right? We've learned a lot more. We're a lot smarter as humans, I would hope. But the problem is that we've never done anything to really evolve our sleep. Over the years, what's happened, and it all started with a guy named John Ott. John Ott is the first one to create the Ott light generator.
Yes.
And it's not red light, it's full spectrum light. And we're actually in the middle of doing research with that light right now, the newest version of it, because we're talking to the people that took on his work after that, because that's where, when people say, why do we use light? We went right to the source, not from somebody who's making money off it, but somebody who's done the research since the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And there's different, our body needs light. And there's been a lot of talk out there in the world of sleep that blue light is so bad, but it's not just blue light. It's actually any frequency of light below really 570 nanometer light. That's what's going to trigger the brain to stay awake. And that only affects 20% of the people. So that might be your audience, but yeah. It's not everybody. You know, some people go to sleep with their windows open, lights blaring through the windows, their sure. lights on, and they still get good night's sleep. So it's not everybody. But what we know is that there are certain things to do. So what we found was sleep, we're actually imitating what BrainTap does is imitates a cycle of sleep in as little as 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, up to 40 minutes. And the reason that it does that is when you have a really good night's sleep, you're actually tapping into the world's greatest pharmacy. Because what happens is while you're sleeping, you move from beta, which is creating dopamine. That's why we have all these dopamine addictions like computer games, texting, coffee, all these things that people are addicted to. They're really dopamine addictions. They happen in the beta brainwave. When you drop out of beta and you get into alpha, alpha is a relaxing state. You're going to go naturally into that when you sleep. If you don't have that, then you're going to have autism. That's what we find. If you don't have the alpha brainwave, you can't speak, because that's why nonverbal autistic kids, when we work with them, within 30 days, they have 23% more alpha. 90% of them will be speaking, because it's and we work with speech pathologists to do that. But also during that alpha, we start to build in what's called acetylcholine. It's just one of the 54 neurotransmitters. That puts us into that dreamy, drowsy kind of drug state that starts to put us into a state of sleep. Then when we start to go down again into the next level of the brain, we're going to go down into theta. Theta produces GABA. GABA is one of the, when people look that neurotransmitter up, you'll see a lot of the sleep aids and a lot of the things that are out there will say they have GABA in them.
Yes.
The problem is that when you do one brain tap session, you're going to dump more GABA in your system than you could buy in a month, because your brain is very efficient at creating it. And just so we know, so people understand what we're talking about, is the country of Brazil is paying $250,000 to do a research study on BrainTap to prove that we're a digital drug, because we upregulate 54 different neurotransmitters and we downregulate stress hormones. And so we're proving that out in the lab. So what I'm talking about has already been proven. I'm just kind of talking about it. So people say, how does he know that? Well, we right. actually have real tier one universities doing the studies with us all over the world, from India to Brazil to America. And so we're basically proving out that sleep is your incubator for your superpower. If you don't have sleep, you don't have the right information on a physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual level to deal with your day, right? So you have to do things during the day. And of course, at the biohacking conference, they're calling it biohacking. We didn't know that in the 80s. There was no term like that. Well, we called it like health optimization. We want to optimize brain function. Now, when you drop into delta, that's when you get serotonin. And a lot of people out there, unfortunately, are taking serotonin uptake inhibitors. These are Prozac. You know, we live in those mm-hmm. books like Prozac Nation. Mm-hmm. The problem is that all those prescription drugs were only designed to be used for 3 weeks. That's what they were cleared for, not forever use. It's kind of like mask. You know, it wasn't a forever thing. It was supposed to be temporary. But now, and that's why people get, their brain starts patterning after that. So I'm not saying run out today and get off your medicines, but get with your medical doctor, get with a natural medicine doctor, work together with both these teams and get off these as quickly as possible, because they're trapping your brain in a cycle of despair. They do not help. In fact, if they were to go out on the market today, they would not pass a placebo test. Mm. The placebo is now 40%. So sugar pills have always beat out SSRIs. The only difference is when you start taking SSRIs, you start to pattern your brain to need them, want them, desire them, and you can't function without them. But I believe, and this is what we're proving in Brazil, that the world's greatest pharmacy exists between your ears, that we can trigger 30,000 different neurotransmitters with a simple thought. So we can set ourselves up to sleep really well and get our body, because our body is always, what BrainTap uses, something called frequency following response. This happens with everything we do. So even when we get on, Molly, we met at the conference. Yeah. When we met, we talked, we had a good time. You know, we had this conversation. Hopefully I walked away charged up. Hopefully you walked after we charged up. That's because we resonated, right? We resonated together and there was something there. We both have a common purpose, helping people sleep longer, get better health, these things like that. So, but if we met somebody there that said, oh no, the only thing you can do is take Ambien. That's the only thing that helps. And we know Ambien, in fact, the research shows that sleep drugs only add 4 minutes of sleep to your night. 4 minutes.
I'm so glad you addressed that because that was going to be one of my next questions of the hypnotics and benzodiazepines, where a lot of people coming our way to sleep as a skill have either experienced those, they're on those, they're struggling with it, they're thinking about taking those, or some of the other ones that you've already addressed. So I appreciate you sharing that.
The problem with the sleeping pills, Molly, is you're in bed, but your body is not going through those cycles.
No.
It basically, you don't, we need to be going through these different cycles to produce, and we produce 54 different ones. So I'm only mentioning the main ones that people talk about, but there's a lot of others that we get all the neurotropic effects of, you know, that make us neuroprotective, that heal our brain. We even trigger gamma during sleep. This is a high level sleep that usually is more pronounced in meditators or healers. But also each of these, theta and gamma, are the most popular neurotransmitter they produce is GABA. That's a precursor to DMT. So if people are going, I don't dream anymore, well, those pills, you don't dream because you're not producing GABA. In order to dream, you have to activate your own body's DMT. We produce that in our system. Just like we have cannabinoid receptors for CBD, we have receptors for psilocybin. These are all things, these plant-based medicines are all working with our brain chemistry. And some people use CBD to sleep. And the reason that works, and we get really good sleep scores when people take CBD, is because it's a down regulator. You know, it regulates the body to, but I mean, taking a good bath is a down regulator, right? So
a lot of paths all, to this, sure.
Yeah. So all these things, you have to work out what is your nighttime ritual so that your body is vibrating at the right frequency when it's time to go to sleep. You can't turn off the news, right? You know, and then go right to sleep. If you can, that's pretty good. But usually what happens is, if you've ever fallen asleep on the couch, like most people have, and you're watching, let's say, a movie about a war, you might even dream about being in that war and you don't get the right amount of sleep because the fear factor is going on in your brain.
Absolutely. Wow. Okay. So closing the loop on that topic of, you know, GABA and many other topics that you address were really powerful. How do you feel about when people are leaning into a lot of these supplements that are GABA specific and feeling like they can supplement their way into great sleep? Just curious, because I know we've addressed certainly the prescription medications, but many of us will say, oh, I don't do that, but then have a whole slew of different supplements that they're leaning into and envisioning that will really save the day with their sleep.
Well, of course, melatonin, all of these should be short-term use.
Yeah.
Because our body, we want our body to do it. We don't want to, once our brain is very, let's say, I don't want to say lazy because that's not really the right word, but what it does, if something else can do it for the brain, the brain immediately offloads that data because the brain uses 25% of all the energy of the system. So if you start supplementing and start doing it that way, which is good for short term, like if you wanted to do melatonin, let's say because you flew across time zones or something like that, you know, those are all really good. But the reality is that what if you don't take the supplement one day or you run out? I tell people, even I do drink coffee and I try not to drink it before 10 o'clock in the morning just to continue to prove to myself I really don't need it. I just like the taste.
Yes.
But the reality is, you know, some people say I can't function without coffee. You know, it's first coffee, then everything else. That's not good for the body. You know, how we wake up in the morning actually is going to tell us how we're going to sleep at night. So the morning ritual is so important because if we wake up and our brain is dysregulated, which means there's stress or fear or anxiety, or we did something that didn't harmonize the body. Like that's why you see so many biohackers say, when I get up in the morning, I drink water and I put Celtic salts in it.
Yeah.
Our brain shrinks 3/4 of an inch every night when we sleep. Mm. So we should hydrate before we go to sleep, at least 2 hours before we go to sleep, with mineral water. And we should do mineral water in the morning because that's what our brain needs. And then the brain will start to look forward to waking up, you know, and get outside or do something that grounds. I sleep on a grounding mat. It's like I'm sleeping outside, and it does make a difference, especially for those people that environmental toxins are really, they're real. And depending upon the room that you live in, we've done EMF tests on people's homes where they weren't sleeping. And they're generating, our body should move around all day long at a zero point energy, which means we should be grounding the energy into the earth as we move through our day. Now we use rubber shoes or tennis shoes, and so we're not grounding. So we have to do something to ground that energy. Like where I'm sitting right now, I have a grounding mat on my computer. So I can just reach over and it's like I'm every once in a while, I'll just ground it because we're collecting energy all the time. Mm. If we get too much of that energy, it shows up as restless legs. It shows up as irritability because it's influencing the electrical information that's coming from our brain to our body. Some people, they even have now, Clint Oprah has even a grounding pillow that people use. So it makes a big difference. If you don't know, I would also, one thing, since we're on technology just for a moment, we've done a test with people where we've done EEG scans with them, where we can pick up if, what their evoked potential is in their brain, which means when their brain starts to get alerted to something. Mm-hmm. So we put their phone 20 feet away in another room. You couldn't consciously hear it. But every time their phone notification went off, they had a cortical response. There was quantum entanglement with their phone. So we showed that if you have your phone in your room while you sleep and it's on, now, if you have it on airplane mode, that's different. I think you have it on airplane mode, all notifications off, you're probably fine. But if you have your phone on and notifications going, every time it goes ding, ding, whatever, that is waking you up. It's causing the reticular activating system to say, hey, there's something to attend to. It could be something terrible, you know, because that's the way it works. You know, the limbic brain is there to protect you. It's not going, oh, something wonderful just happened. I just got a call from Ed McMahon and I won the lottery or something. You know, that doesn't happen, right? Our brains usually, unfortunately, the first thought most people have is it's something negative's happening, you know, if somebody's out. So we really want to watch that. And of course, a lot of people, they don't realize why light is so important when they sleep, but every cell of our body has something called chromophores. Mm-hmm. These chromophores are actually like solar panels for your home, but they're in every cell. We actually bring energy in through light, sound, and vibration. And the biggest example I can give people are the closest to home, Molly, is let's say that you're at a party. You didn't really want to be there, but a friend talked you into going. You get there and the party seems to be okay. Everybody's moving, but then they start playing your favorite music.
Yeah.
Pretty soon your foot's going to start tapping. Your body's going to start swaying. You're going to want to dance because you converted that sound into energy. That's how the body works. And the energy it produces is something called ATP. So if you don't have enough energy, you won't sleep.
Yes.
If you have too much energy, you won't sleep. So it's about having that balanced energy, right? So everybody knows what that is. Because when most people, when they were a child, when you say sleep is a skill, right? When we were babies, we didn't have a skill. We just turned over and went to sleep. You know, when somebody says sleep like a baby, they didn't mean cried all night and, you know, dirty their diaper. They meant they slept like the dead or whatever, you know, when we're kids. But as stress builds up, our psychology starts to interfere. And then we start to support that negative psychology with foods, let's say. Maybe you're stimulating all the way into the evening. If you have food in your stomach, for instance, your body will not convert to sleep until that food is in a digestive position in your gut. So some people, that's why if you wake up in the morning and you have an upset stomach, you have what's called a sour stomach. So the reason you're not sleeping so well is you ate too late. Now, some people, depending upon their gastric juices, they might have to supplement like hydrochloric acid if they're not able to digest red meat. Even if they're digesting proteins, they might need to take that. But there's different enzymes you can take that help you to digest the food to sleep deeper.
Yeah. And
these are all things that can help you to set the body up. Now, the best thing to do is to have 2 to 4 hours before sleep without eating, obviously.
Yes.
But if, let's say, you can't help it, then you want to eat things that you know will quickly go through the system. If you're not vegetarian, that would be the time to be a vegetarian because the fruits and vegetables go through the system a lot faster. You know, we've all probably had the experience where you had a heavy meal of meat and then you go to sleep and you just don't feel so good in the morning. So that all plays a part into how it all works.
Absolutely. So there's so much gold in there. I'm taking notes as you're speaking. So a couple of things. One, I think you're pointing to some of the things that we're dealing with in our modern society. And that's really our intention with this conversation of sleep being a skill, because to your point, when we're just coming out of the womb, things are working to a particular extent and we got that sleep dialed in. And if we were to, often our joke is if we were to go back thousands of years and try to make this argument that sleep is a skill, it might land very differently based on, you know, when we're living within nature, we're grounding naturally, we were connected with that sunlight, we're having far less toxins, we're eating differently, we're aligned with those rhythms. So many things are just sort of falling into place. And now in our modern society, you're pointing to so many of these things that might have gone out of alignment. We're eating at odd times. We have instability. We're flying across different time zones. We're needing to bring in things like grounding mats and mineral waters. It's not in the water at this point. We're concerned about EMFs. And, you know, there's a lot more to really get connected to. So I so appreciate you speaking to all these things. Just a quick check-in on a couple of things you mentioned. When you mentioned both mineral water and the grounding mat, are there particular things that you suggest, like brands or anything, for us to be aware of if people are looking to invest in some of these things? And yeah, just wanted to hear a little bit about that real quick.
With the salt, there's different salt you can take. They call it Celtic salt is probably one of the best, yep. But you want to get a full spectrum salt, not Morton's table salt. That's right. Only one mineral. Yes. So you want to get the full spectrum mineral. And you just put a pinch in there, whatever you can handle. I found this bamboo salt on Amazon that's great. It's distilled down 10 times. So like a teaspoon, a little pinch of that is almost like a whole teaspoon, but you can handle it. And it gives you the minerals you need. And also minerals before sleep. A good friend of mine wrote the book, Get Off Your Acid, in Daryl Godfrey, which he'd probably be a good one for you to interview as
yeah.
well.
Because.
But he showed, and I can even show it, if I don't take his minerals before bed,
yeah,
there's a definite sleep score change that happens.
Wow.
So that happens. I always like earthing.com because Clint Oprah is the one who actually made,
yep.
Great. Wrote the book Earthing. And you can see the videos on YouTube if you don't want to buy the book. He did a nice documentary and, you know, they have a lot of supporting science. It reduces inflammation, which is probably one of the reasons that you sleep so well. I mean, imagine if we were back in time, you're talking about what's happening in modern day.
Yeah.
100 years ago, the average person slept 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
So very different than today. But 200 years ago, if you were living out in nature, you would go to sleep at the end of the day, you'd have a fire. You wouldn't turn on Netflix and stay up till 3 a.m.
Right.
You know,
you
would watch the fire. And what most people don't know is that fire is flickering and crackling at 10 hertz frequency.
Mm.
It happens to be alpha. So what is it doing? Our ancestors naturally knew that if they started that fire, they'd start to calm down. We've all had the experience where we're with a special somebody and we light a fire and it becomes so romantic.
Yeah.
That's because our brain starts to create acetylcholine. So we're in a chemical wash of all these positive, wonderful neurochemicals that make us fall in love with who's ever around because we set the environment to that. So think in the same way your home, you need to have an inviting thing. And when the fire went out, nobody ran to the woods and said, let's get more wood and build this fire up. They said, the fire's out, we're going to bed.
Yeah.
And then because you were already in alpha, you could drop into theta and go to delta and go to sleep. And then usually at night, you go through anywhere between 6 to 9 cycles like that. The first cycle is always the longest. That's why some people say, wow, I sleep really well for 3 hours and then I wake up. That's because they don't know how to regulate their sleep and they pop out of theta and alpha and they pop into beta. And then most people just go back to sleep. But if you have a sleeping issue or you have a lot of fear going on in your life, frustration, anxiety, all the psychological reasons, you might wake up. Or if there's physiological, you know, like pain in your body that might wake you up. Pain only happens in beta, by the way. It doesn't happen in any other brainwave. So if you can learn to modulate beta, you can be pain-free. I had surgery with my shoulder without anything but my dad training me to use my mind. They took a piece of my bone from here, put it over here with a screw through it, and I didn't use any anesthetic. You know, the body has a very beautiful way of creating natural analgesia, but you have to do the breathing techniques. You have to relax and trust the process.
Wow. Okay. So to that point, I'd love to speak about BrainTap for a second and the light conversation. So, you know, some of the things I'll hear from people, they come to sleep as a skill. They want the tech. They want to be tracking their sleep. They want to know the supplements. They want to know all these sort of things, right? To improve their sleep. They want often the quick sort of fix, right? And yet when we talk about the importance of light for this conversation, it can feel like a longer process. to start, you know, really aligning with those rhythms, takes discipline, what have you. Now you, what you're bringing in with, from this brain tap conversation, when I speak about meditation or breath work or things of that nature, it can feel like, oh, that's going to take forever. And yet they might feel like, oh, that's already handled. I've got, you know, Headspace, I've got Calm, I've got, you know, I've been doing TM. What makes bringing in, how did you combine these conversations, the light, the being able to calm your nervous system? Tell us the whole world of this.
Yeah, one thing is there might be 1% of the population that actually knows how to meditate out of all the meditators. We've not seen them. We've scanned over 30,000 brains, and we've scanned people that thought they had really good brains and they were meditating all the time. Most people do not know how to meditate. It's not sleep. It's basically, Ann Wise wrote the book called The Awakened Mind. It's really about awakening to consciousness. So the difference between meditation and what we do, we're more brain fitness. So let me kind of explain what we're talking about.
Right.
Meditation's good, but we did a study just recently where we took music that people meditate to, and it was good music. We did a 45-minute recording, and we hooked them up to our HRV, which you saw there at the conference, the professional version. We also had them with EEG, like the Wabi, and we're measuring their brain and their heart rate at the same time. And we did a baseline scan for 5 minutes. Then we had them listen to 15 minutes of this music that people meditate to. They could do whatever they wanted. So during that music, the course that down-regulated, they got relaxed and it was great. But then at the end of that 15 minutes, their brain literally went right back to the stress response. No change. That usually happens with every meditator we've ever done. It's always the same. They have an experience of meditation, but it doesn't translate into real world brain fitness. We took that same piece of music and we buried the algorithm of brain tap into it at the same time. At the end of the 15 minutes, it did everything the other one did, but deeper. And at the end of 15 minutes, it didn't go back, in fact, for 72 hours. So that meant the brain adapted. It became, we really call ourselves the brain fitness company. So if the listeners can just kind of bear with me for a moment, over 100 years ago in 1890s, actually, Dr. Kellogg started the very first wave of wellness. That's what I call it, because he introduced supplementation, nutrition, and helping people to get well. There's actually a movie called Wellsville that kind of spoofs him. That's my hometown, Battle Creek, Michigan. The very first health food store in the world was in our hometown. So we grew up around those crazy people that were, it wasn't California, which most people think, where, you know, it was Battle Creek. And what happened was, that's great. You can't outthink a good diet. That's why I say nutrition is important. If you're eating poorly, or if you're drinking alcohol right before bed and you're wondering why you're not sleeping, your body cannot metabolize, digest, and sleep. You know, it has to do, it's going to do one or the other. And it's probably going to metabolize in that. Now, even when you're passed out, some people say, I have a couple of glasses of wine because it helps me sleep. No, it doesn't. If you think it does, but it doesn't. Your body is still working a lot and it's using a lot of energy. That's why you wake up in the morning and it feels like your car's been idle in the parking lot all night. You know, you don't have any energy.
Yes.
So now let's fast forward to 1970s when I was in high school. We didn't have a workout room. Nobody used physical weights. In fact, people thought if you lifted weights, you'd become muscle bound. If you were asked somebody back in my high school days, are you going to go work out? They said, are you going to run? You're going to gym? You're going to go to swim? You know, you're going to play golf? That was working out. Nowadays, everybody knows it's physical fitness because of people like Arnold Schwarzenegger and all that. We call that the second wave of wellness. You have to do something to get your body during the day moving and breathing, or you're not going to function right. That means you're not going to sleep right. Sleep is always a way to evaluate, is your life working or not? If you're not sleeping, something you're doing when you're awake is not happening. It's not about sleep. It's not about when you get into bed. And in fact, I still use the chili pad, which is really nice, but that makes it nicer, but that doesn't replace what you're doing during the day. You still got to do everything you do during the day. Now, 2020s, we believe at BrainTap is the decade of the brain. We are now in the third wave of wellness. That's where we have to look at all these, because if you're still stressed, if you still have anxiety, if you still have fear, if your psychology isn't right, it will definitely affect your physiology. And it'll show up as ulcers, anxiety. You won't sleep through the night. That worry will basically paralyze you. So all three of these have to be used to really get to, and I call the fourth wave of wellness when you actually tune into your spirituality and start realizing that we're not physical beings. We're here having a physical experience. There's a much more at play here than just what we see with our eyes, ears, and experience with our body. This is, very small percentage of who we are shows up here. You know, there's a much bigger self than what we see.
Ah, oh, I love that. Wow. Well, thanks for taking us through sort of the history of these waves of wellness and where we're at now, and this kind of introduction to this conversation around the brain and really beginning to understand more and more about this topic. So with what you've created with BrainTap and merging this light topic, what does this actually look like for people that are using it? I shared with you, I've only recently just started tapping into the power of BrainTap. So I'm very excited. I've just got myself outfitted with one and going to be exploring this. And I'll certainly be discussing this more in our newsletter and podcasts. But for those that are just brand new, what does this look like? Why do we want to bring light into this conversation? I know you briefly mentioned that, you know, blue light is often villainized in this conversation around sleep. What can we learn from bringing this together?
It's really not blue light as much as it is energy.
Yes.
Even the bad light that we use is pushing energy into our cells. You know, that's why we have to really watch what kind of lights we're under. Like, that's why they've outlawed the halogen lamps and things like that, because they were basically causing problems. So, but what, if we get good light and good photic energy, of course, our focus is all about the brain. So the brain cannot do the work without ATP. ATP is like the currency for healing and keeping our body well. If we don't have the energy to heal, then we age. People that have energy don't seem to age as quickly. Their cells are able to duplicate and do these kind of things. So what we're going to do, how do we deliver energy to the brain? Well, sound is one thing. So we listen to 25,000 pieces of information every second. Our hearing actually is more selective than it is precise. Because if we heard everything we were listening to every moment and put our attention on it, we'd be paralyzed. We wouldn't be able to move because it's too much information. So we select what we're going to hear or not. That's why, you know, if we were sitting at a restaurant together having a conversation and then somebody three tables over says, Dave Asprey, let's say. Well, we would hear Dave Asprey because we were just at his event, but we wouldn't hear the rest of the conversation because our reticular activating system wouldn't pump it out. So we're listening to that with our sound. So we might get into that a little bit. So what we did is what sound's doing, what if we did that with light? What if we created binaurals for the vision portion? And vision is important because your brain, our listening skills, 30% of our listening actually happens through our eyes. You heard me right. Our eyes. So if you've ever been to a lecture and you couldn't see the lecture and you couldn't hear them, but as soon as you adjusted your line of sight, so now, oh, I can see the lecture, now you can hear them. That's because this reticular activating system said, out of all the noise we have in our world, I'm going to focus on that one. So what most people do when they meditate, they close their eyes. 30% of their brain goes dormant. We introduce light to the equation. Guess what? Their brain, 100% of their brain's neurophysiology stays active because there's light available. And the brain says, I can't shut those circuits down because I don't know what's going to happen. And then we're going to flash at different intervals, just like we do with the tones, but we're going to do it with flashing. And this happened because we were looking at, there's something called a Jyoti meditation, which is where you position a candle just far enough that your breath moves the flickering. And what we found out was that candle is actually, just like the fire, is flickering at 10 hertz frequency. So your brain is actually in tuning, just like two tuning forks, to the flickering effect of that candle. Now, we can't just put candles in front of people, but believe it or not, that candle has more light than BrainTap. BrainTap has less photic energy than a candle.
Wow.
So when you sit there in front of those, it's eight LEDs, they can even be lowered. I mean, we have some people can't use any light at all at night. I will say that 20% of the people should not use any light. Doesn't matter what color it is, red, white, blue, whatever it is, because their body can handle the energy. But when we do that, the reason the eyes are not just attached to the brain, your eyes are brain matter. So when somebody looks at you, Molly, and says, wow, your eyes are beautiful, what they're saying is your brain's beautiful because they're looking at your brain matter. Now, the other thing is we're going to put light in the ears. And this is what really freaks people out. They're going, why would you put light in the ears? Well, number one, all the ears are a great place to bring light into the body. Number one, because of something called photobiomodulation. What that means is photons go into the bloodstream, the red blood cells absorb the photic energy. So that red blood cell actually becomes a carrier for that energy. Now, this happens every day. Remember, we're designed to be outside 18 hours a day.
Right.
So if the light is absorbed, now it circulates through the body and it's looking for a cell that's about to die. As soon as it finds that cell that's going through cell death, it then exchanges, it absorbs, it basically acts like a negative pull on a magnet, and it pulls the photon out of the bloodstream into the cell. The minute it does that, something called vasodilation happens, blood flow, circulation, nitric oxide release. In essence, magic happens. Healing happens at that point. Now, that's just one cell. With this vasodilation, it uses something called the Fibonacci sequence, because every time you do the brain tap session, the first time you build one, let's say you build one blood flow supply chain, the next time you build two because you reinforce the one, then the other. And it keeps going on the Fibonacci sequence of spirals, and it builds the neural network as well as the nutrition to feed those neurons so that we start building more neurons in the brain. We can't save the neurons that we have. We can build new ones. They call it neurogenesis. But the body needs energy to do that. Now, where there's light, they also know now that there's stem cell production. So what happens is the body begins to use its own restorative powers. We have an innate intelligence in our body that knows exactly how to bring us back to homeostasis. But one thing that we're missing, the most underprescribed nutrient on earth, light. So people are missing out on the light. We use very specific light frequencies. Now, there are other really good light frequencies for other things, but the reality is that our brain needs red and blue light, just like sunrises and sunsets. And one thing, Molly, I don't think people understand is that it used to be a metaphysical concept when people say, I am light. You know, you see those bumper stickers and people think, oh, that's a fruitcake, you know, running around, you know, a granola or whatever. But the reality is science is proving that we are light. We are photic beings. Our science officer actually was the one who patented what they call ceramic clothing. And Tom Brady, which some people probably know, he's a really famous quarterback. He came out with a clothing line called TB12. That's actually our science officer's clothing that he licensed.
Oh, really?
Because every person on earth emits infrared light. So when you meet somebody, the difference between doing this, what we're doing here, you can see me only because I'm throwing off light. But if we're together, we're actually sharing our light energy. Every person emits infrared light. And we all, if you're into the health field, you know what infrared light does. It's very healing to the body. So there's actually clothing and sheets that can reflect this back to us while we sleep. So we can heal ourselves with our own light energy. Instead of just expelling it out of the world, we can reflect it back through ceramics. So we need that light to, now the more light we have available, the more light we have to transmit. We all know people just on a kind of a metaphysical concept that when they walk in the room, the light gets a little dimmer. You know, those kind of people, they suck the energy out of a room. You want to be the kind of person that walks in the room and it brightens it up. You know, people want to be there because you have this energy and this life force. And that happens when your body is healthy and doing what it's designed to do, which is to transact. Now, we eat a lot more than any of our ancestors ever did. I mean, they might only eat. On a good day, they would eat two meals. They would never eat three meals. I mean, that would just be outrageous, you know. So they were, because they didn't know, they didn't have a supermarket on every corner. You know, they had to watch those things. So we have a lot going against us. And I mean, when we get just in the 80s, sleep went to 8 hours a day. And then in the 90s, it went to 7 hours. Now they're saying the average person sleeps less than 6 hours a day. It's almost like people wear a badge that says, I don't get to sleep. So look at me, I'm super cool. But one statistic I think I feel compelled to share with your audience was that they did a study with professional basketball players, and they had them sleep just 1 hour longer to see what would happen. Over 10% better free throw shooting over time, over 23% better shooting from the field. Injuries were reduced by over 60%. Just by adding 1 hour of sleep to their daily, and these are professional athletes. And believe me, because I always wondered, you know, you watch a show on television, you go, they had a curfew last night. I'm thinking, these are professional athletes. They have curfew because the owners know that their production, if they don't get the sleep that they need, they're not going to perform the next day. And that's true for every one of us. So we really do need sleep as a skill, because it's going to help all of our other skills do their thing.
Oh, wow. Well, you're preaching to the choir with this one. I love that. That's amazing. You just dropped so much knowledge. And on that point, one of the things that's come up on the podcast is people then say, wow, they're blown away by people like yourself sharing all this information. So then the next logical thing is they want to know, what are you doing for your sleep? So we do have three quick questions that we ask everyone at the end of our interviews around what are you playing with right now? And I'm sure it evolves and it completely, I get your passion and your energy and I love what you're bringing to the table in this conversation. So I'm sure this is not complete or done by any means, but our first question is, what is it looking like for you right now with your nightly sleep routine? And I know you pointed to it's not, you know, that awareness that our sleep really begins when we first wake up too, like the ability to how we're managing our life. But what would we see?
At nighttime for me and my wife, we always go around the house with at least 3 hours before going to bed, turning off all the lights. Because you'd be amazed at how the lights come on, especially we didn't realize this until we moved from Arizona to the East. In Arizona, it's so light. We just were turning on all the lights because we were so used to being so bright. And we live in the forest now, so it's kind of dark. But that darkness will start to tell our brains, hey, it's time to calm down. Yeah. We personally never watch anything stressful or fearful at night. We have a routine of watching comedies, you know,
comedies
or something like that to get our brain to be a little bit lighter. We always do, if you were to, and the lights are very dim. We don't have lights in front of us. And we use lighting as a mood, kind of to set the mood, because they have so many different ways to do that now with lights.
Sure.
And I know, I love what Dave had as he'd been. He had some pretty nice light, some light processes. But absolutely. Like the John Ott light that I'm investigating right now, we're actually having it tuned to the light from the sun. So if it, whatever the sun is outside, it gives the same light inside. So, and it's really bright because that's what... Most lights don't even hold a candle, no pun intended there.
No pun intended, yeah.
So we, you know, within, and then at night when I go to bed, I always have I have a chili sleep pad that I love. I have a grounding mat that I sleep on. And my wife doesn't do all the same things I do, but I'm always posting my sleep scores. So if people want to go to my social media, they'll see them at Dr. Patrick Porter. Usually once a week, I'll post them. You know, especially if I've just traveled to show people, hey, I did one when at the hotel, I posted what mine was the day before I got there when chili didn't. And I said, the only sleep app I can't bring is my chili sleep mat. And then I had only a 67 score, which is really low for me.
Yeah, sure.
With the BioStrap, that's not too bad, but it's not what I'm used to getting. But the night I had the chili sleep, I had a 97 sleep score and a 93% recovery. So I showed, hey, how that affects me. And that's the temperature of the room. Yeah. So it's kind of hard when you're in. So I can set the temperature to be cold, you know, where I like to sleep. And then I set it to wake me up when it's warm. So it kind of imitates the earth. You know, what happened if you were sleeping on the ground? I don't use an alarm clock. One of the worst things you can do to yourself is set an alarm before you go to sleep. We call this anticipatory stress. So you set the alarm. If you do set an alarm, I always recommend you find some beautiful music to play in the morning. So at least you're waking up to something nice and pleasant. Yeah. If it's a screaming alarm, that puts it's like taking a tooth that's got a cavity and putting a jabbing of utensil in it. You know, the nervous system is, you know, and then all depending upon how well you regulate, you might not be able to get out of that fear for hours. So you really want to work on that. For me, I always go to sleep. And I do one of the exercises you saw me do there at biohacking. I usually do the one where I roll my eyes up, of course, to trigger the alpha activity because I want to tell my brain it's time to sleep. I start breathing into the melatonin 4, breathe out to the melatonin 8. And I just basically do a gratitude with my body to thank my body for what it did for me today. And I think of the people that I spent the day with. And I always reframe anything that happened negatively, like everyone else. Right. Some things are going to happen. Maybe I didn't act the way I wanted to act around somebody or do something. That's what I'm going to correct it, because that's when the hippocampus does its work. The hippocampus is the part of the brain that gets those memories and replays them for you, either when you need them or even when you don't need them, depending on what happens. It serves them up to you. So, but if you train the brain to accentuate the positive, and I have a success reel I play. Just like you would see a sizzle reel when somebody comes out speaking, everyone listening should have their own sizzle reel, their own success reel. What were your the biggest highlights of your life? You should play those out, go from today, and then start thinking about tomorrow and start future pacing the most positive outcomes. And then I give instructions to my subconscious to give me the information I need to make it clear how I'm going to accomplish that goal. And then I go to sleep. Sometimes I don't make it that far. You know, it's a lot.
Sure.
Sometimes I just... bail out. But sometimes I'm there visualizing and having my own DMT trip without any external need, because once you start producing GABA, you're going to produce those kind of, you're going to start to hallucinate, get those dreaming states. And I love lucid dreaming. So I'm always looking for ways to incorporate into my dream states. And then for me, I sleep anywhere between 6 to 7 hours, depending upon where I'm at. Mm-hmm. I've tried to sleep longer. I just don't. So everybody's got to find out what their sleep needs are. If I sleep 6.5 to 7 hours, I'm almost maxing out any sleep score study. Mm-hmm. So that's my sleep. If I sleep longer, I actually get a worse score. So when I'm up in the morning, I'm up. I'm not laying in bed trying to sneak out another 15 minutes of sleep. Yes. That disrupts your brain function. So you want to get up as soon as it's time to get up.
Ah, that's amazing. And I haven't heard anyone speak to this conversation of, you know, kind of creating your own success reel or sizzle reel of your life. I think that's fantastic. And then the second question is, what might we see on your nightstand, or it could be your proverbial nightstand if you're, you know, traveling, if there are apps or any supplements or, you know, pieces of ambiance or anything that we should kind of be aware of?
Well, at night I do, it's not by my nightstand. There's nothing there really that would be of any value.
Yes. Which is probably a good thing.
The lamp and things like that.
Low EMF.
But I do. Yeah. But I have taken my minerals that we talked about every night. I travel with them. I also have a supplement routine that is too vast to go through right now, but
yes.
A lot of it has to do with enzymes, because as we get older, we don't have as many enzymes. So I'm always taking the enzymes that I need. They actually, US Enzymes is a company I do. They just came out with one that's for blood clotting, because of all, everybody's having blood clots. So I'm predisposed to that. I have to give blood every 2 months. So I'm taking that just to help thin out my blood naturally.
Sure.
I do magnesium at night before I go to bed. All the things you might see other biohackers doing that are really good. But the main thing that I do is that if I don't do anything else, I'm always doing the minerals, because I can really, that actually is measurable in what happens. And that the best time to take your minerals is at night before you go to sleep.
Yes.
So then some people will get cramps if they take their minerals in the morning or they didn't have a good experience. But at night, it seems to metabolize and digest better. And that's when your body's going to need them to rebuild your body.
Got it. No, that's a great kind of tips for people to be thinking about. And then the last question is, what has made the biggest change to your sleep game, or biggest kind of aha moment around improving your sleep?
I guess it'd be the chili pad, because that's the newest thing. Just 3 years ago, I started using it. And I think monitoring how you sleep, and we've spent so much money on different beds. I mean, we have a bed that's like $10,000 and it's crazy.
Any brands that you recommend for the bed that you've found?
Well, I think the brand, I can't remember the brand that was at the biohacking. That was a good one. The one that I was with was actually designed by, the one that was on, that I'm with is a guy who spoke at our conference. It's actually made by a chiropractor out of Indianapolis, and he makes it out of all natural substances and fibers. So it makes a big difference. It's very comfortable, but it's still, once I put the chili pad on there, it's all different.
Game changer. I know, shout out to Todd and Tara over at Chili Pad. They also hooked us up with their chili pad during the conference too. And to your point, the first night I didn't have it. The second night I had it for the rest of the conference, and it made all the difference in the world. Completely agree. It's such a game changer.
It's not very expensive. I mean,
it's not very expensive. Right. And they also, I often share for people too, if there's, you know, the price conversation is in the space, they have some refurbished options too. If you ever, you know, so that there's different tiers of availability. So I think 110%, no matter what bed you are sleeping on right now, the chili pad or something like it can really help up-level your sleep game. Wow. Okay. So thank you so much for sharing all of this amazing information. I have loads of notes, and I had to control myself to not ask you more questions, because I want to be respectful of your time. But having said all that, I'm sure people listening are going to feel similar to me, that they'll want to know more about what you're doing, what you're creating. I know you said you're in the midst of, you know, clinical trials, and all of these things are happening right now. So how can we stay connected to, you know, what you're putting out there?
If they go to drpatrickporter.com, there's all the links to all the things. And then we'll get you set up with a link that you can share with them for free. Great. So they can download my Thrive and Overdrive book. They can keep that book. They can read it on their Kindle Fire or any mobile device. And then we'll give them 15 days free on the app. They can try it out. And hopefully they feel like most of our other people. We have we only have about 8% of the people at max ever stop using the app from month to month. You know, 1% is the typical monthly you know, people use it 20 times a month. So it's something people use, they get benefit from. So hopefully you can try it for free. Even with just the headphones, people are getting results. So because sound therapy is really powerful too. When you add the light, that's the upgrade. You know, yeah. You add the light to get the upgrade to the experience.
Yeah. And so for anyone listening, in case it's hard to picture, definitely check out, you know, the links that we'll provide and check out, you know, what BrainTap actually looks like. If you can envision sort of putting on almost a mask, if you will, over your head. And I did it during the conference again. And it was so cool because it does bring about the light and also the sound. So while there was thousands of people walking around, I wouldn't have known the difference. I was on an anti-gravity chair, a little blanket, put that on. And it was like I went on a little vacation away from there. So yeah, definitely check out if you're having a challenge of envisioning what that looks like, you know, give it a look. Wow. Well, thank you so much for providing all this information and for your passion. And I'm very clear that this is just the beginning of all of the things that you're helping to provide to so many people to help make a difference in their life, which, as we know, the how you're managing your life can absolutely impact and is the driving force of the type of sleep that you're getting. So thank you so much for your commitment and for your time.
Okay. Thank you, Molly.
Thanks for having me. Thank you. Absolutely.
You've been listening to the Sleep is a Skill podcast, the number one podcast for people who want to take their sleep skills to the next level. Every Monday, I send out something that I call Molly's Monday Obsessions, containing everything that I'm obsessing over in the world of sleep. Head on over to sleepisaskill.com to sign up.